Speak, Lord. Speak, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're in part two of our series, Do You Have Good Religion? Do you have good religion? And in this part, the title for today's message is simply A Surrendered Life. It is with a heavy heart that I preach to you this morning, with a heavy burden that I speak to you this morning, because I believe that the church sometimes misses it. So our text this morning comes from Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And in the book of Revelation 2, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking to the churches, amen, and he has a message, and some message, some warning, some call to repentance, amen, and even some encouragement to the church. And this is important because it speaks to us today, because we are the church. We did not just gather here today out of obligation or habit. We are the bride, the church of Jesus Christ. But this church in particular, the church of Sardis, has an interesting story that Jesus sends his angels to share with them his assessment of what the church looked like. And so in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, it says these words, "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars." He says these words, "I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead." Now, I think I better stop there for a moment and give you the urban translation for what Jesus is saying to the church. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're flogging, amen. Amen. Flogging. Look at your neighbor and say, are you flogging? Are you faking it? Are you faking it? Or are you the real deal? Amen. You have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Yet, there are some among us, the church in Sardis, who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the church. A surrendered life. One of the most powerful, life-changing movie scenes I've ever seen, to me, is the one in the movie Left Behind. This movie, Left Behind, is a Hollywood's way of explaining the biblical events of the rapture, in which Jesus is coming back now, and as it says in scriptures, in a twinkling of an eye, those who have been remained here will be caught up with him. And so this picture depicts God's coming, Jesus' return. He's coming back, and he's taking the church with him. And in this picture, in this movie, there's a scene with the priest, the preacher, that is powerful but relevant to the church. As I think about that clip, those of you who have missed it, the preacher got left behind and his church left, amen, to be with Jesus. And as I ponder that movie clip, I wonder myself, where did this guy go wrong? What did he miss? Have you ever asked yourself the question, where did you go wrong? We can see from the movie clip that he knew God's word. I mean, he preached it, amen. He knew about God's love, amen. He talked about it. He taught the people about God's love. And he even taught the people about this great God who saves, who is the only way, this great Jesus Christ, who is the only way to God the Father. And they believed it and accepted him, put their trust in him. And they made it in. But yet, this preacher found himself left behind. Very deep. I pondered on this many times. And the funny thing is, the church today are the same way as this preacher in the movie. Some of us are just like this man. Church people do a lot of great things. We do a lot of great things. And church people also stay very busy. You know, church people, you always see church people that busybodies always serving and doing stuff. And church people worship well. We just did it well. Like we just worship well. I mean, it was something else. We felt the presence of God. Church people even serve well. They serve their community, they serve in other things in their life, not even in the church. But do church people tell others about Jesus? Beloved, the only reason why, once we are saved, Jesus leaves us here on earth and doesn't immediately zap us off and take us home with him is because he wants us to be his witness. He wants us to be the only reason why When you accepted Christ, he didn't immediately take you home to be with him. He left you here because he wants you to be his witness. Truth is, Jesus gave us three messages before he left. He gave three messages to all his people before he returned to heaven. And these messages, we find these things, we discover in these three messages, I'm going to share them with you, that this is our calling. Our calling is to tell somebody about Jesus. This is why we exist. This is what Jesus left us to do. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, don't want you to go there, but there's this parable. He gives them these lamps, and they're to go and get oil and fill these lamps up with oil because they don't know when the bridegroom is going to return. And it says that five of them understood this, and they went and right away immediately filled the lamps with oil. But the other five thought they had time. They enjoyed life. They partied. They chased after the cares of this earth. And then it says unexpectedly and suddenly the bridegroom came back. And the five who didn't get their oil, now they were scrambling, trying to get ready. And they went to the other five and said, can we borrow, give us some of your oil? And those five were like, no, we can't give up our oil. We were ready. And so they went out in the streets and tried to find oil at the last minute. And the scripture said the bridegroom took those five who were ready, and he left, and those five got left behind. I believe Jesus was talking about the church in that parable, in that we have a posture or an attitude lacking urgency that Jesus is coming back again. And when he comes back, what will he find his church doing? So let's look at the three messages that Jesus gave his people, his children, the reason why we were left in Matthew 28 and 19, if you look at that on the screen, Matthew 28, 19, many of you know this passage. It's called the Great Commission, and it says, Jesus says, go Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, or behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the idea here is Jesus says, go and make disciples. That's why I left you. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, then the second one, in John 20 and 21, Jesus says this, and he's telling the 12. He says, here's your purpose in life. Here's why I created you. He says, just as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. Peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. And then there's Acts 1:8, where Jesus says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the utmost parts of the earth. Jesus' last message for his church, his bride, was that you are going to be storytellers. That's your occupation. But for some reason, we don't share Jesus. And we have the audacity to use our time here on earth to pursue things such as the American dream, to pursue prosperity, to pursue material possessions, amen, to acquire stuff and things. We have the audacity to use our time here on earth, proving to our peers that we've arrived and we've made it. When people are dying, lost, and without God. Flawed. Amen. That's why I had to say that to get an amen. Amen. For some reason, we take comfort. For some reason, we take comfort in making the church about our own little club. This is where I go on the weekends, on Sunday, get a good song. The preacher gonna give me a good word. I feel good, and then I leave. Amen. I do my thing. I go in this world, and I come out of this world. I go into the spiritual world, I come out, and I go back and do my own thing. We also take comfort in making Jesus about our own little benefit, and everyone else has to make it on their own. We have the attitude or the posture that we're telling those people, good luck. You'll figure it out. There's Bible apps. There's, you know, Jesus is all over the place. You'll figure it out. Good luck. And we think we're getting it right. We think we're pleasing God. But in reality, we're serving ourselves and fooling ourselves. So I wrestle with this question. What is the point of a church that is not touching lives for Jesus? What's the point? Why gather? Why exist? Sure, we worship well, and our worship honors God, and God honors our worship. In fact, it says he inhabits the praise of our people. He is worthy of our worship. Yeah, we do that well. God loves that. Sure, we fellowship well. We hug, we embrace each other. We care for one another, and that's a part of it too. God honors that. He loves that. But yet, we sin by neglecting to live out our kingdom purpose, which is to tell the story of Jesus to a dying world, to a lost people. In fact, to affirm that this is sinful, James in 1:22 says this. He says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. So we look good on paper. But what does God think about us? In fact, have we become the very people we hate? We hate religious people. Have we become that? Have we become religious? Do you have good religion this morning? And so the church at Sardis had this problem. They had become religious people. And so Jesus himself brought it to their attention. And here's what he says as we unpack the scripture. Jesus says this in verse 1. He says, I know all the things that you do. I know all the things that you do. So I got a question here just off that part of the warning that Jesus gives us. Does it matter to you what Jesus thinks of you? Or are you more concerned with what your peers may say about you? Jesus says, I know all the things that you do. And then he says, and you have a reputation. You got a good reputation. You have a reputation for being alive. Oh, you're looking good. You're fooling some folks. When they look at you, they think you're a prayer warrior. When they look at you, they think you're an evangelist. They think you're spiritual. They think you're a devout Christian. But you're dead. In other words, Jesus is saying to us today, church, he says, I know that you're kind. You're a very kind person. You filter your words. You don't just flow, let it flow out. You're very kind to people. I know you're loving. I know you're good. But it seems like you're only kind to people you like. It seems like you're only good to those who are good to you. It seems like you only love those who look like you, love you, or treat you right. He says, I know that you're kind, loving, and good. But the ones who need your kindness, who really need your goodness, and who really need your loving, you either really don't care or you just don't have enough time. Amen. Wow. And so Jesus says, wake up! Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is almost, you almost dead. And he says these words, which were incredible. He says, I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. And I read it and I was like, wow, what are these requirements? What are God's requirements? Well, it's in the Bible, John 13:34. Jesus says this in John 13:34-35. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is not only conducive to the huddle, the church huddle. Love is loving people who don't know Jesus. Loving those people into the kingdom. And so what is love? Well, love is not programs. Love is not meetings or gatherings. Love is not just coming to the church house. Jesus says in John 15:13, what love is. He says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. So love is sacrifice, giving up something, giving up some time, giving up some talents, giving up some treasures. And so Jesus shows us a way out. He didn't just present the doom and gloom. He didn't just call us out, right? He shows a way out. He says, here's how you get back. Here's how you stop flogging. Here's how you come back. He says, in verse 3, he says, go back to what you heard and what you believed at first and hold to it firmly. You remember when you first got saved. You remember when you first came to Christ. You remember when you first had that passion. You was on fire. You wanted to tell somebody. You wanted to let everybody know that you were saved. He said, go back to that. And then he also says, repent and turn to me again. And he warns us. He says, if you do not wake up, I will come to you suddenly as an unexpected thief. And he says, for those of us who get it, who understand our purpose, who understand why we exist, who understand why God saved little old me, messed up old Pat, he says, yeah, there are some in the church of Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. There are some who are not trying to follow this world. There are some who are not trying to live this world. There are some who are just devoted and surrendered to Christ. There are some who just have a passion for Christ. There are some who just love people, who want to share God's message to people. He says, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life. But I will announce before my Father and his angels, they are mine. See, what I'm living for is some glad morning when this life is over, when this earth foolishness is done. I'm going to stand before Jesus. I'm going to stand before God the Father. And I'm going to stand before him, and he's going to open the book. And Jesus is going to come and step up on my behalf and say, Daddy, Patrick belongs to me. And God's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jesus says in verse 6, he says, there's some that won't listen to this. There's some here today that's going to dismiss this message. There's some who are going to remain fooled. But he says, anyone who has an ear must listen and understand what God is saying to the church. And so here's the challenge. Here's the reality. I'm just going to keep it real, because I had to repent myself. Most of us live a safe life. Most of us play it safe. We live a safe life. But I want you to know that a safe life, playing it safe, is not a surrendered life. Surrendered saints don't play it safe. And so I want you to close your eyes for a moment, all over this place. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to answer this question in your mind. Here's the question. I want you to think of the last time you share your faith with someone and they came to Christ. What do you think? Now, if you're having a hard time recalling that time, there's a problem. If you have to go back further than 3 months, there's a problem. And so shame on you if you found Jesus and you won't tell anybody about him. Shame on the church if it's not leading people to Christ. What's the point? Shame on the church if it's not baptizing new believers. And so I'm going to close with this question today. Do you really believe that God can touch somebody? Do you really believe it? Question 2. Are you ready to surrender all to him? I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Jesus says, wake up and strengthen what little remains of you. He says, repent and go back. And so in this moment, if you need to take care of some business and repent to God for this particular sin, I want you to get out of your seat. No music today. Listen, it's just us and God. I want you to get out of your seat right now. If you need to repent to God because you have not been living out your purpose. Because, church, we got to get this right. I want you to come down to this altar. And today I want you to get down, if you can, get down on your knees before God, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray and ask God for strength, right? He says, strengthen what remains. Because we can't be flogging in the church. We can't be a flogging church, man. We got to be the real deal. Because we don't want to be like this guy in the movie who misses it. Because we're worried about the things of this. And so if you're here, come on.